This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Thank you, the Reverend Amanda, for your kind words of introduction. And thank you, friends, for that warm welcome. I feel loved and accepted. And I'm going to request that we pray. Father, indeed, you have exalted your Son, Jesus Christ, and you have lifted him up, and his name is above all names, and in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We pray that, Father, you'd help me to bring forth your word and loosen my tongue, that these, your precious people, will feed from you today, and they will be blessed because they came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am so delighted to be here. This is my second visit to this wonderful church. I was last here in 2007. I came with Archbishop Henry, and I think we had a Saturday evening of worship. We were very graciously hosted by a family, I believe, Bob and Barbara Jones. And so I got to learn later that Bob was promoted to glory, and we miss him, but we have fond memories of that visit. And so this is homecoming for me. I bring you greetings from my family. God has blessed me with a beautiful wife. I'm married to one wife because that's the only one I can manage. I don't know how people manage more than one. And God has blessed us with three children, David, Marjorie, and Ruth, in descending order. And they send their love and greetings. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians, oh, there you go, thank you. Thank you for that. That's a good man. There you go. Florence is seated next to me. She looks like my daughter, but she's my wife. And this is our 26th year in marriage. Yes, and David is up there. He's a lawyer. Marjorie is the one who took the selfie. She has a selfie stick in her arm. And Ruth is studying human resource and management. She thinks she can manage people. So they send their love and greetings. And it's such a joy. You're very warm people. You're very warm people. I think if I were to live in America, I would choose this place. And already, I am in love with your Kansas Chiefs. And today I pray. And today I pray that they win the match. Yes. And so, we are here to look at a very wonderful topic. And I think I was given about 25 minutes. Now, 25 minutes is just introduction of a sermon in Uganda. but let's try. Let me try and see what we'll be like. Just give me a sign if you think I'm speaking too much. I'll try and behave myself. But I'm not sure I'll manage. But let's see. Let's see what happens anyway. And you see, I have got to think of what to say in your language. English is my fourth language. And so, but I try to speak and communicate. Hospitable mission. Now, last week, I think you focused on the church which is like a hospital. Now, the church is not like a hospital. The church is a hospital. And a hospital for the spiritual and physical needs of people. And, you know, Reverend Patrick spoke, I understand, very powerfully on that. And so today we are focusing on hospitable mission. Now, the background is that Jesus, who is God and who existed right from the beginning, lived in heaven with God the Father and with the Holy Spirit in fellowship, the three in one. He's a Trinitarian God. And God was in fellowship with man because he created him for fellowship and would visit man in the evenings to have fellowship with him until the fall, and you know the story very well. And that is when man became a candidate of God's wrath, because since the fall, we are all conceived and born in sin. The Bible says in Romans 3:23 that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And when the Bible says all, then it is all. You know, regardless of height, and those of you who think you are tall, I have got good news for you. You are a tall sinner. The short ones, you are a short sinner. And those of you who look sharp, like me today, you are a sharp sinner. Beautiful sinner. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The white, the black, the yellow, the green, and the orange. For all have sinned. And so man was a candidate of God's wrath, and we were all destined to eternal damnation. And so God sends the flood. And if you and I were born before Noah, before the flood, we would have been destroyed by the flood. And God is grieved. He regrets that he had created man. And there's a big chasm between man and God. And so God in the Trinity, they sit together, and God the Father decides to send his son Jesus Christ to come and redeem man. He is a missional God. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, let us make man in our image. So they were always in fellowship. And now God the Father sends his son, Jesus Christ, to redeem man and to reconcile man back to God. And this is the scripture we are focusing on in Philippians, in Paul's letter to the Philippians. And we see Jesus here now as a missional Jesus, living the glory of the Father in heaven and becoming man. God humbles himself to the extent of becoming an embryo and living in a woman, inside of a woman for 9 months, the womb that he created. The greatest display of humility. And he becomes man. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. So God comes and becomes man, 100% God, 100% man. He is God, because a son is not born, a son is given. But a child is born. So 100% God, 100% man. And John later writes about this and confirms it and says in 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And so Jesus is born, he is raised, he fulfills his mission and dies to reconcile man with God, so that man may once again commune and have fellowship with God the Father. And we see a classic example of missional hospitality in the experience that Zacchaeus had with Jesus. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, the chief of publicans in Jericho. He controlled the customs. He was the chief revenue officer who collected revenue and duties of on behalf of the revenue service in Jericho under the Roman government, which was oppressing the Jews. And somehow he collaborated with the oppressors. And he was overtaxing the goods so that he could have some money to himself, you know? And because of that, he was not popular. He was not popular among the Jews. And anyway, I have never seen any tax collector who is popular. Because it is man's natural hatred of taxes. But because he was also overtaxing, he was a social reject. He was a social misfit. And as Jesus is passing through Jericho, Jesus was a crowd puller, so somehow you'd know that Jesus is passing through. And he runs to see Jesus, to catch a glimpse of Jesus. And because, unlike me, he was a short man, he was not able, so he decides to climb a huge sycamore tree. Now, this is the chief tax collector of Jericho. He's supposed to be a man of great reputation, and he climbs a tree, literally. Now, this doesn't require any biblical interpretation. He climbed the tree, literally. It doesn't require what these theologians call hermeneutics. No. He climbed the tree, literally. He cast aside his reputation. He cast aside his fame and climbs the tree to have an aerial view, a bird's eye view of Jesus as he passed through. And Jesus comes. And remember, Zacchaeus was very strategic. He never climbed any tree. It was not just any tree. He climbed the tree where he knew Jesus was going to pass. And so Jesus comes to the point where he was, and he looks up. I'm sure as he was walking, he saw him as he was walking. And when he gets to that point, he looks up and calls him by name, Zacchaeus. Come down. And this is good news for us, to know that Jesus knows you by name. You see, in this building, I probably know one or two people by name, those I have met, those I have interacted with. And you are very kind, by the way. I love the way you greet. Because when you're greeting, you say, Onesimus, my name is Scott, my name is Guy, my name is... But you see, I can't remember all those names. You know, even people I've met, excuse me when I say, remind me of your name, because I meet so many people. But I can know Amanda. I can call Amanda by name. Now, I may not know you by name, but God knows you by name. President Trump does not know you by name, but God knows you by name. God does not know us only by number. He knows us by name. And he is concerned with the details of our lives. He knew the needs of this man. And so Zacchaeus comes down, and Jesus takes the initiative to invite himself to Zacchaeus' home for a meal. I was given a wonderful treat last evening at some home. We had a meal together. Now, I was invited, but Jesus invited himself to this home for a meal. He took the initiative. And the goal is not to eat food. The goal is not to eat food. True, Jesus never used to cook meals for himself because he never had a home. This was a king who never had a palace. So true, that was probably strategic as well for him to have a meal. But he never went to eat. Food is always an excuse for fellowship. And I'm sure, Morgan, you agree. We had wonderful fellowship yesterday. I may not remember the food we ate, but I will remember the fellowship we had. And so he goes. And of course, this man had a lot of food. And you Americans amaze me because you have too much food in your refrigerators, which you never even prepare because you love restaurants. I wonder why you keep all that food in your refrigerators. But anyway, so the food is given and Jesus eats. And of course, when you invite Jesus or when he invites himself to your home, you prepare a meal for 13 men. And I guess some of them were very good eaters. And the only gospel he preaches is the gospel of food. And Zacchaeus stands up. Of course, people are concerned that Jesus is a guest of a sinner. They're muttering, they're saying, "This, I don't think this is from God, because if he were from God, he would have known that this man is cheating on us. He's overtaxing us. This man is notorious." But you see, Jesus never came for those who are well. He came for the sick. He came for the sinners. That's why we have the challenge of reaching out and sharing the gospel to those who are deprived, the deprived of society, the social rejects, those who live in the margins of society. And this man stands up and says, "Well, Jesus, I'm here. I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything," and he was only being polite, "he should boldly have said, 'And for the many, I have cheated,'" because he had, "'I will pay back four times the amount.'" Wow, wow. This is somebody who has been on the receiving end, grabbing. "Give me, give me, give me, give me." And now, after having an encounter with Jesus, he's giving. The language changes from receiving to giving. You see, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 30, I believe verse 15, that the rich has two daughters. "Give me, give me," they cry. And that is typical of man. That's typical of man. When God created man, within the center of man's heart, he created space for him. That space is meant to be his throne. And without Jesus on the throne, there is a vacuum, and the vacuum demands, "Give me, give me, give me." And so you get $1,000, give me. You get $10,000, give me. You get one degree, give me. You get another degree, give me. So there is that demand. And it will demand until Jesus comes to his throne. That is when you'll get satisfaction. He now says, "I'm going to give. I'm going to give." And so Jesus stands. He's excited. He's definitely excited that this man has responded to the gospel. And he says, salvation has come to this man and his household. And the Bible doesn't say that the wife had also repented. The Bible doesn't say that the children had also repented. And that says something about you, the men, the priests of the home, that your life determines a lot what happens to the rest of the family. Your faith has an influence on the faith of your wife and your children. And so there is excitement. And Jesus accomplishes the purpose of going to Zacchaeus' home. He's missional. He takes the initiative to seek the lost. And Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Now, in conclusion, Jesus modeled for us missional hospitality. We need to reach out to those who are on the margins of society. There are many people who live in the neighborhood that have never heard the name of Jesus. A preacher went somewhere in Latin America, and as they were talking about Jesus, one young man asked, is that another brand of Coca-Cola? You know, there are many people that have never heard the name of Jesus. There are 17,016 people groups in the world, and of those, 7,082 have never been reached. They are unreached. We need to emulate the example of Jesus and reach out to different people groups. And I'm really grateful to you as Christ Church for the partnership that we have at St. Francis Chapel, where I serve, and the missional partnership we have with the Diocese of Northern Uganda, that place which was torn apart in the days of the rebel leader, Joseph Kony, and many of the people that got involved in the war, young people, boys and girls who were abducted and made to kill their parents and to set their homes on fire. And those young girls were turned into sex slaves. Northern Uganda is on the margins of society as well. And so I really, really appreciate the fact that you have partnered with us to reach out to that community. And I encourage many of you, some of you have been to Uganda on missions, and I really want to encourage as many as can to come and be part of what God is doing. You know, when the women who had gone to anoint the body of Jesus in the tomb, on a Sunday morning, as they are crying and looking for the body of Jesus, an angel appears to them and says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus is not here. He's raised. He's been risen, as he said. And the angel said, come and see where he lay, and then quickly go and tell his disciples. You know, as I was making reflections on that story, four key words stood out for me. The angel said, come, see, then go and tell. And I ask for your indulgence in this. I would like you to repeat after me, kindly. Say, come. See. Go. Tell. Again, come. See. Go. Tell, come, see, go, tell. And please note the order, note the order. The order is come, see, go, tell. It is not tell. Some people want to go to tell before they have come to see. You see? And the mandate is that when you have come and seen, then you must go and tell. There are people out there that have never heard the name of Jesus proclaimed. The strength of a church is not measured by its seating capacity, but by its sending capacity. And Robert Coleman, who served with Billy Graham, and I was privileged to attend the School of Evangelism, Billy Graham School of Evangelism, and this was one of the guys that really influenced me. He says, Robert Coleman, I have moved in the world and seen many churches, and every church I have visited, there are two members. The first member is the mouth, the big mouth that speaks and speaks and speaks. In every church, wherever you go, there is somebody who dominates, talks, you know. If you say somebody to read scripture, they stand. Somebody to pray, they pray. In those life groups, they're always talking. And he said the second member is the big bottom that sits and sits and sits. And so you say, we now need members to join us as a team to Uganda. They sit. We need to reach out to our neighborhood. They sit. Now, I'm challenging you today in the name of Jesus to get out of your comfort zones and become missional. Become missional. I want you to be mission-minded. Think of those people who are deprived, and may the Lord give you the ability to reach out to them. Step out of the boat in faith and in obedience, and if you really want to see what you've never seen, then you must do what you've never done. Americans are very good people at designing and managing programs and systems, but you now need to come and implement these systems. And so may the Lord bless you, my friends. May the Lord give you the zeal and the enthusiasm. May God activate your mind to think of those people out there and how he can use you to make a world of difference in their lives. God bless you.